He went through the first aid kit from the boat, but there was nothing much there of use. Aspirin, bandages, and disinfectant. Some antibiotics, but they had a short shelf life. Still, that was all he had, and he helped the boy drink and put one of the capsules on his tongue. He was soaked in sweat. He'd already stripped him out of the blankets, and now he unzipped him out of his coat and then out of his clothes and moved him away from the fire. The boy looked up at him.
"I'm so cold," he said.
"I know, but you have a really high temperature, and we have to get you cooled off."
"Can I have another blanket?"
"Yes, of course."
"You won't go away?"
"No, I won't go away." He carried the boy's filthy clothes into the surf and washed them, standing shivering in the cold salt water, naked from the waist down, and sloshing them up and down and wringing them out. He spread them by the fire on sticks angled into the sand and piled on more wood, and went and sat by the boy again, smoothing his matted hair. In the evening, he opened a can of soup and set it in the coals, and he ate and watched the darkness come up. When he woke, he was lying shivering in the sand, and the fire had died almost to ash, and it was black night. He sat up wildly and reached for the boy. "Yes," he whispered. "Yes." He rekindled the fire, and he got a cloth and wet it and put it over the boy's forehead. The wintry dawn was coming, and when it was light enough to see, he went into the woods beyond the dunes and came back dragging a great travois of dead limbs and branches and set about breaking them up and stacking them near the fire. He crushed aspirins in a cup and dissolved them in water and put in some sugar and sat and lifted the boy's head and held the cup while he drank. He walked the beach, slumped and coughing. He stood looking out at the dark swells. He was staggering with fatigue. He went back and sat by the boy and refolded the cloth and wiped his face and then spread the cloth over his forehead.
"You have to stay near," he said. "You have to be quick so you can be with him. Hold him close."
The boy slept all day. He kept waking up to drink the sugar water, the boy's dry throat jerking and chugging.
"You have to drink," he said.
"Okay,"
wheezed the boy. He twisted the cup into the sand beside him and cushioned the folded blanket under his sweaty head and covered him.
"Are you cold?"
he said. But the boy was already asleep. He tried to stay awake all night, but he couldn't. He woke endlessly and sat and slapped himself, or rose to put wood on the fire. He held the boy and bent over him to hear the labored suck of air, his hand on the thin and laddered ribs. He walked out on the beach to the edge of the light and stood with his clenched fists on top of his head and fell to his knees, sobbing in rage.
"About being sick.
I remember shooting the flare gun."
"Do you remember getting the stuff from the boat?"
He sat sipping the juice. He looked up.
"I'm not a retard," he said.
"I know."
"I had some weird dreams."
"What about?"
"I don't want to tell you."
"That's okay. I want you to brush your teeth."
"With real toothpaste?"
"Yes."
"Okay."
He checked all the food tins, but he could find nothing suspect. He threw out a few that looked pretty rusty. They sat that evening by the fire, and the boy drank hot soup. And the man turned his steaming clothes on the sticks and sat watching him until the boy became embarrassed.
"Stop watching me, Papa," he said.
"Okay."
But he didn't.